You are listening to the 1420 Sports Podcast, four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more, with your hosts, Brent Radlinski from the Yankee Tavern North and Dave Van Robies from the Dutch Oven. Both of us are in Lethbridge, Alberta. Let's get into it.
1420 Podcast, show 119, Monday, July the 19th, 2021, in a smoky Southern Alberta. I'm in Medicine Hat, so it's 1420 on the road once again. Dave, you're in Lethbridge, Alberta. How is the smoke there, my friend? Cheech and Chong, or what's it like out there?
It's definitely pretty hazy and overcast, but I don't find the smell overwhelming like it was a couple summers ago. And on the flip side of that coin, it's this haze that I don't smell, and it's not bothering me in a breathing capacity. It's 15 degrees cooler because the sun can't get through, and I'm down with that.
Yeah, it definitely was a lot cooler yesterday. I had some baseball elsewhere, Southern Alberta, and the day before it was 35 degrees. Parents were wearing shorts and t-shirts and everything else and complaining about how hot it was. The next morning, the exact same parents were wearing blankets and hoodies, were saying how cold it was. So there was no in between with that, but that's what human beings do the best. We complain about things we can't control.
Well, what do you do? Because if you can change something, you do it, right?
Or complain about it's a lot easier than putting any effort in.
You don't have a complaint if you don't have a solution.
That's right. Anyways, Dave, last we talked was last Tuesday night, and that was All-Star Game. It's been a week since we've chatted and done any podcasting. You went off the grid for a little bit up in the mountains. Completely off the grid. No cell service, no nothing. What was that like? And maybe we should all take a little time off to do that from what you said.
We went camping in the Kananaskis in our little tow behind pop-up trailer, I guess you call them. Tent trailers to my generation. But nonetheless, yes, I didn't know it until I got there. I had no cell service for over like 78 hours. And it was disconcerting for that first night. But then I made my peace with it, and I didn't realize how refreshing a break from technology can be.
Yeah, I got to get on that myself, because I'm tattooed to my phone and got to know everything all the time for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is. I still don't know anything. I'm not any smarter for knowing more, if that makes any sense. I'm reading more. I'm reading more, but learning less in the last 10 years, I guess. And it should be the other way around.
And what I did, that's I brought books. I brought paper books that I can feel in my hand. And I also had my e-reader, and I read, and it was on my downtime, and I played catch with my boy. I did some hikes. It was a great breakaway, and I'm thankful for it.
And it was like I said, last week we spoke, the All-Star Game was on in Denver, Colorado. And I don't know why I didn't bring this up last week, but now I've had some time to digest a little bit. First pitch was thrown by the ultimate Denver athlete, Peyton Manning. Like, I cannot think of any athlete in the history of Denver, Colorado that's more deserving to throw the freaking first pitch at the All-Star Game than Peyton Manning. Why would they pick him? You come on, fill me in.
Who carries the game? Is it Fox or ESPN?
Fox.
Okay, there must be some kind of tie-in, because I was wondering the same thing, and I saw today that Eli and Peyton are going to host an alternate telecast of 10 Monday Night Football games this year.
I on ESPN saw that too. Briefly, just for when on the air tonight. Yeah.
And so I wonder if it's just an NFL thing, because otherwise I don't know. Like, fuck, you can find a plethora. Why not Joe Sakic? Why not McKinnon? I guess it's all about rights holders. That's my point.
I was thinking, I don't know, someone like Larry Walker, who's going to the Hall of Fame for the Colorado Rockies. I'm just throwing that out there for that sport. Just
Troy Tulowitzki.
Well, Tulo, he'd get hurt walking to the mound.
He would be like, you got to sign a waiver before you can.
You can't. Yes, we don't have the cap to take care of this. It's terrible. I just thought that was odd. There's so many guys that they could have used that were a lot more. Because when I think of Peyton Manning, I don't think of Denver. Yes, he won an MVP there. Yes, he won a Super Bowl there. But I think Peyton Manning, Indy, right? I forget that he even played in Denver because I'm not a huge Denver guy. I'm not a Peyton Manning guy.
Well, I am, and he did
with an Elway jersey in the background.
Oh yeah, Elway's still the king.
Yeah,
and well, I guess Peyton Manning is now, I guess, the crown prince. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
It's a Fox thing, guaranteed. But anyway, we'll get off this topic. It's just like I said. I can think of five guys from Denver that I would put in as a sports guy before I put Peyton Manning throwing the first pitch. Anyways, move on to some different news. Luke Prokop, National Predators draft pick. He's signed, sealed, delivered. Probably going to play there next year. Came out today as gay, 19 years old, I believe. And then he came out with a statement that basically said he, you know, growing up as a kid, you dream of a Stanley Cup and Norris Trophy defenseman, but coming out as gay and helping kids out and helping other people out is more important than the hockey accolades he could get. Luke Prokop's probably going to get, undeservedly so, some negative press. He's going to get some pushback for saying he was gay or saying it not was, is gay. But in my opinion, he did a good thing. Not for him. And it doesn't. Okay, here it is. It doesn't help him one bit. Like, not one bit does it help Luke Prokop in his professional career, his personal career, whatever else. But you know what, Dave? It probably may have saved another kid's life today.
I applaud this kid. Like, that's quite brave. Because it would have been easier for him in his culture that he is excelled at in his profession, and he's going to be looked at differently by some. And I think it's so hard as a young man in a very macho game to do that. It's hard for anyone to do it who's been living in the closet. For him to come out and be the real person he is, I think it's to be applauded. I wish him all the success in the world, because it's a step, and it's a step, and it's brave. And I don't know if I would do it if I was him.
Well, that's just the thing. Like I just said, it's not going to help him at all. I don't think. I don't think, because it's still a. I don't want to say old man's game, but there's still a culture in the hockey world, and we'd be ignorant to think that
it's not just hockey; it's sport. Right. It's macho. Yeah. It's alpha males walking around. At its basis is a dick swinging contest.
We'd be ignorant to think that the ones who have come out are the only gay people. We'd be ignorant to think that over the history of sport, there hasn't been a lot more we'd be ignorant to think that there hasn't been superstars who weren't gay. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The guys who are coming out and doing it and saying that they are, I applaud them. I know there, like I said, there is pushback guaranteed, because there are people, well, what can just be you? Well, they haven't been able to be them until now.
And the pushback is like, it's like, stop it. Like, stop. Just don't push back. Yeah. Like, just, and because you're wrong, and in time, you know, you're going to be more wrong, and there's going to be less of you, because, like, stop it. Just fucking stop being offended and let the fucker play his game.
And the thing, I don't think that there's people that are offended so much. They're more like, he's not offending me, so why is he got to come and say it? If you want to be equal, then just be equal. It's not that easy. Like they're not equal.
Says someone that's been in the majority of their entire life.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. So no, I applaud this guy for coming out at the age of 19, entering probably his first year in the National Hockey League. I can't say for certain if Luke Prokop is going to be hindered by what he did today. I can't say for certain he's going to be helped by what he said today. It's going to be an uphill climb either way. But I applaud a kid who's 19 years old saying, well, this is what I am. And he went to family and friends before he went, and probably his agent and whoever else. And this is what I'm going to do. You know, it wasn't a decision on his own. I'm fairly certain that people around him knew he was gay. There was probably just a lot of discussions that say, hey, if you do this, here's what might happen. Or if you don't do this, here's what might happen. So I applaud a kid at 19 years of age. It's gutsier than I could have ever done if I was gay and 19 years old.
And from what I read about this guy, he's like obviously a stand-up. I won't say obviously, like everything that I've read about him, he's quite a stand-up guy. He plays with his brother on the Hitmen. And his brother knew, his family knew, and he even told some guys on the Hitmen. Now that he's signed, he got drafted with Nashville, signed the contract, obviously consulted with the franchise first, and said, this is what I'm going to do. And he did it. And his junior franchise, the Calgary Hitmen, have come out in support, as have the Nashville Predators. He's probably going to play another year in the Western League, and you're going to hear it, and that's going to be a tough league. He's going to hear he's going to hear slurs on the Western, on the road in the Western.
Pretty gritty towns, pretty backwoods people. I'm not taking a shot at anybody, but the people who are in those towns, they know
it's
who they are.
It's going to happen for sure.
It's going to happen. I mean, whatever. It's going to happen, but I appreciate what that kid did. And if he could save one life by coming out of the closet and saying it's okay to be gay, which it is, and it's who you are, go for it, man. Like and if you can help a kid or help out an adult, even just it's he's a better person for it. Than he made the world a better place today by doing what he did, in my opinion.
He's going to shine some lights in some dark corners of the hockey world, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, 1420 podcast. We didn't mean to get on that top of what we did, but it's a big event, and we not breaking news, but we'd like to put our opinions to the test anyway. Thank you, Sally, very much for introducing us and telling us that the meeting is being recorded once again. 1420 podcast, for Brewer and Sports Talk, and a whole lot more. July, still hockey times going on because of COVID. The expansion draft got pushed back a little bit. Lot of guys got unprotected that I didn't think would have. There's some deals that get struck. We protect this guy, don't protect that guy. They won't take this guy because of salary implications. The big one that came on the board, and he asked for it just to help the team out, Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens agreed to leave him unprotected with his 10-point-whatever-million salary. Do the Seattle Kraken, which is still the worst name in hockey, do they take a crack at Carey Price and say, hey, why not?
It's not just $10 million. It's $10 million for 4 more years.
Yeah.
So it's just not that. I would, if I was to crack, and I'd pick up the phone and talk to Carey Price, because I also find it somewhat intriguing that meniscus tear surgery might have to take place and this and that. Is that a red herring to keep? Like, well, I guess my question was when I was reading all this shit, like, so if he's on the, I'm going to assume that the Kraken can pick up the phone now and talk to everybody on the list. So my first fucking call I'm making is to Carey Price and says, can we talk frankly here? We only have 2 days to do this. Will you let us look at your medical records? Is this shit real or not? Do you want to be here? Yes or no?
I would assume that once you're left unprotected, the medical records are an open book. I would make that assumption that the doctors and whoever else is involved is partial to what's going on behind the scenes there, because if you have a backhanded deal, you would get penalized by the NHL or by have to give up some kind of something back to the Canadians or whoever that I would assume.
Like,
not a lawyer, but that's how I would run the league.
But then, that's a big what if. And then also too, if you choose to pick him, you know you're going to need a solid backup, which they just signed that kid from Florida, Tampa. Yeah, which to a really reasonable deal.
3.5 at 4 years or 3.5 at 3 years.
The backup Carey Price. If those things fall into place, I don't know how you don't pick him. Because you do a good job. Look at Vegas. Like,
I thought it was today, Dave, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up. Is that I thought the exact same thing with Fleury, the flower in Vegas. You know what? He's the face of your franchise the first year. Done. Ticket sold. See you later. And he's a not just a personable guy, but a good goaltender, right? And that helps.
Yeah.
Because goalies play a lot, and if your goalie's good, they can put him on the billboards and the mask and everything else and the equipment and blah da 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 da.
An elite goaltender who's also a good guy.
Yeah,
like Kiprasov for Calgary was just so fucking good. He didn't have to be a good guy. No, he wasn't a bad guy, but he could give a shit what people thought about him.
Yeah.
Whereas Fleury and Price, they're out there. They're doing the good work.
Stewards. Price played his junior hockey just down the road in Kennewick, Washington for the Tri-City Americans. Doesn't hurt. He's a West Coast boy from up in Anaheim Lake. Doesn't hurt. Being Carey Price doesn't hurt. I do it.
It makes so much sense to me. Like, it makes so much sense to me.
You know, you go on the hockey side of things, Montreal, they went to the finals this year in whatever what kind of season you want to call it. They're probably not making the playoffs next year. And Weber's out with his, he might be retiring. The team's gonna be weaker. It's gonna open up some space for Montreal on their cap. Why not?
Montreal's not
winning a Stanley Cup in the next 3 years.
No chance. The Kraken have a better chance than the Montreal Canadiens.
Price is in a better hockey situation and a better, I shouldn't say social situation or personal, so I don't know the guy for nothing, but being on the West Coast, close to family, la-da-da-da-da, is probably not a bad idea for him to get picked up by that franchise.
It makes a shit ton of sense to me.
The only thing that scares you is $9.5 million, but you can defer money somehow, some way. We'll let the agents, the lawyers figure that one out.
Well, and that's the salary cap too. When he's out for X number of games for injury, insurance picks up that. Like let's pretend he does need surgery.
Yeah.
Like it would count against your cap and all that
long-term
shit.
Long-term IR and everything else, how they
right,
can do it.
There we go. Like the Kucherov. Could you imagine bringing that guy back? And starting in game 54.
When I first heard that it was happening and how Price asked to be left unprotected, I was like, well, that makes sense because he wants Jake Allen to stick around because Allen would be picked up. And then I got thinking, well, maybe he wants out. Or maybe it was just players speak to not piss off the Montreal fan base.
And also too, as a small side, like for him, I don't know about others. He gets to retain his no move status.
Yes.
So if Seattle does pick him up, that no move sticks with him. Like it's not like they can flip him.
There was a player, I think it was for Nashville. I can't remember his name because he's been so bad for quite some time. They asked him to waive his no move clause to be unprotected, so they could protect somebody else. And they said, don't worry, they're not going to take you. So basically, there's two teams that don't want you. And I can't remember his name. I should have did a little research on it, but it would basically, we don't want you, they don't want you, so can you just, we want that guy, we don't want them to take that guy. Can you please just do us a solid? We're gonna keep paying
just
you.
Just do us a solid, yeah.
We're gonna keep paying you. We're stuck with you because you're not very good. Like, could you imagine? Yeah.
And that was Nashville when Vegas was doing the thing.
No, it was this draft. Just like it was. Yeah. It was 3 days ago. They. It was all. I can't remember his name. I should.
Well,
yeah.
Toronto and Pittsburgh had a trade just like. You're going to take them, this dude from Pittsburgh, and you're going to take, or this, and this dude from Toronto.
Yeah.
So we'll put them both in Toronto, and that way you only get one.
We'll get one of them and everything else. We spoke months ago about the being in the expansion draft and going to expansion team. And I mean, if I was in the twilight of my career, I wouldn't be too hip on it. But the last couple expansion teams haven't been bad. I mean, it's Nash or Seattle's shaping up to be pretty good by the players they're going to get. It's not like Atlanta was 12 or 13 years ago. Now the Winnipeg Jets, because that team was really bad. And the Ottawa team and the Tampa Bay team back in the early 90s were quite bad. But now the way they've changed the rules a little bit, it wouldn't be too bad. But I don't know, twilight of my career, if I'm set up nicely in whatever town I was in, kids are in school, the wife's happy, that I wouldn't be too partial on going.
Okay. Hi, Mark Giordano. Yeah. You just described yourself, and now you're going to Seattle next year.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Gio on quite a few levels. I respect the guy. The hell of that guy.
Good player.
I wish you didn't have to wear that fucking... Yeah, I did. I wish he didn't have to wear the C, but he did. Like, when I say the C, the Calgary Flames C, he's so solid. He can play on any team. I cheer for any time. When you're now exposing your captain, like who made his bones undrafted captain,
yeah,
and saying thanks for your service, like, what happens if the Kraken don't take him, can he wear the C next year?
No. We don't really want you around. It's salary cap implications. I get it and everything else. We're trying to get rid of this and that, but you're not a part of our long-term. You're not part of our long-term plan. So,
and you're not a good leader. You're not a leader for this team anymore. Yeah, that's what they're telling him.
We decided to move on from you. And we think that, you know, 2-3 years from now, we might be on a different page. You're only with us for one more year. And after that, you're done.
If the Kraken take him, I couldn't figure out why would the Kraken take him with that salary hit for 1 year. But then I heard it. I was listening to some sports talk radio this afternoon, how much sense it does make. Veteran presence, maybe not the C, doesn't matter that way. But you can still count on him as hell, and it's 1 year. You can flip him at the deadline and now get another draft pick.
Yeah,
as the Kraken.
Exactly.
Because he's like, Gio, like, if he goes to the Kraken now, he's chasing cups.
Yeah, let's just say the sort of team out there, let's say that Pittsburgh is having a hell of a season. They want a lot of their decor for a playoff run, and they can go, well, we can get Giordano for, I don't know, for the remainder of the season, $250,000 to finish the season off here. You retain this salary. He helps out. He's he's a third line or third pairing defenseman. Get some penalty kill time. Not going to hurt you. He's not going to help you a ton. He won't hurt you. I think when you get to playoff time.
Oh, no. He's going to be like, he'll be a minute eater, smart, yeah, defensive.
That's what I said. He's not going to hurt. He's not going to help you a ton, but he's not going to hurt you. Right? Like, he'll do his job. Because you have your top two lines, you have your top four pairing, and a guy like Giordano, okay, play your 13 minutes a game, 14 minutes a game. We can throw you in a penalty kill just in case guys are tired. It's not going to hurt you.
And an injury, he can step in any role. Like, he's at the twilight, but like, he took care of himself, and he's a smart player. Like I said, I wish he didn't have to play for the Flames. I respect the hell out of that guy and his career.
No, it's going to be interesting to see what happens on expansion draft day. There's not a ton of talent out there, but you never know. And then that $70 million bucks for their salary cap, that can get it eaten up pretty quick.
One more I want to talk about. Yeah. Do you take, if you're the Kraken, do you take Tarasenko?
At $7 million, probably not. But
he's a head case, no?
Well, most of those Russian guys are, eh? Like, there's something going on in the water out there in Moscow. It's
that guy can snipe and score when he's in the mood.
There's
a
reason why he's not wanted, right? Like, there's got to be a reason.
Exactly. And he got to be in his bonnet the last contract. Like, he's sat out.
Like, you think about it.
The year before this.
It's a few years back now, but how good was Kovalchuk? And the league, not just the Devils, the league couldn't wait to get rid of that guy. It was like, this guy, just get rid of him. Yeah, there's something about Russians. I don't know what it is, because they're talented beyond belief, but there's something going on. Like Obi's got his – if Obi wasn't such a – they're all special talents. But if he wasn't such a uber beyond belief, you would stray away from him.
Talent.
You would stray away from him because there's some weird crap going on with the Russians. Like, they're like that documentary we watched with the doping and the stuff and the things that when Russians get into something, just turn your head and walk the other way.
I'm not for 1 second suggesting you're wrong. It is different.
You're pleading. I don't know this guy. Just in case someone's listening, I'm not. I'm pleading the fifth.
Well, no. But you know, like it is. You're completely right. It's such an odd dynamic with because Russia could always bounce to the KHL and make probably just a good living.
Yeah.
And but not be in the States. And
it's just odd.
It's where are you going to make your bones and what are you going to do it? And like in the KHL, I think there's a lot of long roadies. Like for one, you fly 11 hours for one game or take the train sometimes.
End up in a game in China and here and stuff and things.
If you're not on an elite team.
Whatever. Anyways, the crash draft leaves on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You can see who comes and goes, and so there'll be some hurt feelings reports filed for sure, because guys got left unprotected. Some guys got protected, so there'll be some hurt feelings on both sides of the scale when guys go back to their teams. It's interesting. I wouldn't want to be a part of it, because there's guys right now who don't know that they're going to be living in 2 days. But they're making a pretty good living, so they shouldn't complain.
Not at all. And you're probably going to be, like, some of those guys are going to be moving to a way cooler city than where they are right now.
Yeah, Seattle ain't too bad. I've had a good time there. Anyway, 1420 Podcast, where you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Apple, Google, what's that other one? I always forget. Amazon. I don't have to get Amazon all the time. iHeartRadio. Dave, when you were up in the mountains this weekend, were you able to access the 1420 Podcast?
No, I did not. I had, do you know what I had to do? Thank goodness that I subscribed. Siri, subscribe to 1420 Podcast, please.
You'll be
saved to download.
You'll be
and then you can download it.
You can download it.
You download it and then you have it on your phone. So I did listen on my daily walks. I listened to some podcasts. You know what I did not listen to?
The 1420 Podcast.
1420 Podcast.
We hear us all the time. And the voices in our head talk to us a lot. So we hear that a lot. Tokyo 2020 opening ceremonies, I believe, are on Wednesday, the same as the NHL expansion draft. I don't know, Dave, which one's going to get bigger coverage in Canada, because the Olympics, they're a non-factor right now, man. You can go up and down the dial, and it isn't getting talked about a whole bunch. I can't. Today, they named the Olympic flag bearers for Team Canada. There's going to be no fans in the stands. It's going to be an odd Olympics. Dave, and Tokyo's going through a third or fourth or fifth wave, whatever it is right now. Things aren't good COVID-wise in Tokyo. There's been the third positive case already in the Olympic Village with limited people there, limited athletes there, because they're only letting people in when their events are on. And when your event's done, you got to go. You're not hanging around there and having a good time like they have in the past. Dave, question one, are you excited about the Olympics? And two, do you think they should have just had a pass like they did after during the it's a different situation. Don't put words in my mouth. During the World Wars where they just said, we're not doing it.
I agree. I'm a bit of an Olympics geek. I like the Olympics. I quite enjoy the Olympics. I find myself staying up too late some nights watching sports I never knew I cared about, just I found fascinating. It just, this is the ultimate thing. Like, money rules the day. And we got all these TV contracts and no one foresaw this. And so we must do this. I really feel bad for Tokyo. Like, now that you wanted this so bad and you spent all this money to host this and thing, and now there's a gun to your head. You signed this contract, do it, or we'll sue you. I pity that country. I'm so torn. Like, I wouldn't want the Olympics in my city. People from all over the world, from countries a lot less advanced than mine, coming in and spreading germs. Like, that's it. And that's what they do anyways. But now it's COVID, and I don't.
Yeah, I'm torn. I mean, we're opening things. Like, things are open up around Alberta. Things are going and things are happening, which is it's nice. We'd be false to say that it's over. You look all over the states; it's rising like crazy. The different variants. It's not good. We're turning a blind eye to things right now when it comes to COVID, and it's too bad that we're doing that because it's a real thing still, and there's still a good percentage of the population who refuse to get a vaccine or won't get a vaccine or whatever it is. And Tokyo's feeling the effects right now. And these athletes, I feel bad for them because they've trained their entire life for this one moment and it's been delayed a year. Now it's delayed another year. And now they're going to their, what is for a lot of these athletes, Dave, is the pinnacle of their careers. They aren't going to get any harder than this. Like in hockey, you could dispute whether a gold medal is bigger than the Stanley Cup, right? So you – go ahead, Dave, sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. Like, I was just going to present this. Like, as a wrestler or someone that does judo, and, like, this is your shot. You've been aiming for this, and now it's your chance to win a gold medal. And now your first match of the tournament is someone from – a country that isn't as advanced in COVID vaccination as yours. And then you're double vaxxed, but you wrestle and like you're wrestling this person. Like you're literally exchanging breath. And now you get tested for COVID after running, like, and you get the COVID, you get the test that you're positive 15 minutes before your gold medal match. Like I can sense so much heartache coming this Olympics. And it's for people like that, like the fencers, the skeet shooters.
One shot.
This is your shot. Now, but especially those combat sports, right?
Yeah.
Boxing and judo and wrestling and Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, swimmers will be fine, you would think. But
I would hope.
Well, although we shut pools down across Alberta, across Canada for some reason with, you know, water and chlorine would, you'd think, kill everything. But whatever. It's going to be odd. I feel bad for the guys and girls who don't, for this to be their big event, who maybe not win, but they might have performed in front of a large crowd and they're not going to. I just think maybe, you know what, just call it. Like, just, I don't know. I'm torn on both sides.
I, I, I wish it could be called, and but like it's up to the people running the ledger books right now. Yeah. And they didn't foresee this, so this is what they're gonna do. And like so when and every like all those poor fuckers in Tokyo who have put out so much taxpayer money yeah. into this project to not have fans, to not have people in the hotels, to not buying like millions of people are not going to be buying there,
not buying living sweatshirts there. And t-shirts and hats and pins yeah. and blah, on and on and on. You know, and it's like every year, like every, I'm not a huge Olympic person. Like I don't follow it, but when it's on, there's always a story that you follow. And there's always an athlete in some sport that you follow is something that happens. And I hope one way or another, we still get that just for the athlete's sake. I don't know of one event that a Canadian is in right now that we're favored to medal in. It's been such a non-entity in, and I'm not just saying this for me. I listen to sports radio. I watch the news. I watch the Sports Center, Twitter, whatever it is. I have honestly not heard of anything about these Olympics.
I agree. Like there's like on my Twitter sports feed, like it's, I disagree. Like the only thing I follow a Government Canada thing, whether it be sports or something like that, they'll have the Olympic athlete highlight and Canadian doing this. And you know what? I do not click to expand tweet. I will be honest, because I don't care right now. Like it's so disappointing. But we've made a point with my son that every Olympics, whether it be winter or summer, we watch it. We watch CBC and yeah. stuff like that. And then we actually do get out the Atlas and we use it as a learning opportunity. And it's kind of fun. And he picks favorites and we're rooting for this guy and that guy. And for him to watch those fuckers, men and women, do gymnastics, that's like the gymnastics of the summer. And the figure skating, ice dancing of the winter. It's just like, how the fuck do these people do this? Like those men, when they go in those iron crosses and the pommel horses.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It is amazing.
No, I hope we get some good competition. I hope we get some stories. I hope some Canadians can win some medals. But we don't, Summer Olympics aren't really our strong suit in Canada. But here's hope we can get something, and there is some stories to tell, and these athletes do get some kind of benefit from it, and do get some glory and some memories that last lifetime, because they worked a long time for what they've done, and it's just too bad it's not getting any press. It's just I just think maybe they should have just called it, and what are you gonna do? But that's like you said, it's money driven, so you can't not do it, I guess.
I guess. Well, on a side note, if you were a male gymnast, which event do you find the hardest? The rings, the pommel horse, the vault, the floor routine, or the vertical? Mitch Gaylord and Janet Jones were like he was a.
American Anthem.
American Anthem. Yeah, he was a vertical bar guy.
The rings would be the hardest because you have to show the most strength. And it's not a momentum thing. The pommel horse.
There's a lot of nut banging.
That'd be a lot of nut breaker. Hey, I took a slider in the nut sack yesterday. Some catcher didn't know how to block balls, and I got one, and then I had to go for a little walk down third base. Got that. Came up on the undercarriage a little bit. Didn't
even did you tell the catcher like what the fuck?
I said, hey man, you gotta block that. You got like that hurts a lot. And I went for a walk and the coach came out and said, hey, do you need some water? I said, I need a lot more than water right now, my friend. Anyways, the pommel horse. I think the rings. The premier act of the rings is the Iron Cross. Whereas this is bad for podcasts and radio. If you watch how some guys get to complete vertical, or horizontal,
and then pull themselves back up.
Whereas you watch other guys get to a certain degree. So they don't accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish. I think their rings would be the toughest one.
I think the vault, I guess I'm a bit of a high flyer, right? It's totally different. It's similar but different, but now like it's more the rings is like super strength and concentration, whereas the vault has more of a free-minded daredevil aspect to it.
Like Evel Knievel.
Yeah. So the rings are Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the vertical bar is Evel Knievel.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't good at gymnastics. I can do a somersault, and what's the round off? The round off and a cartwheel. Yeah, the round off. I was good at round offs.
Right. Yeah, like the thing. It's better than a cartwheel because I can never get totally vertical.
Yeah, it was easier. Round offs were easier.
Yeah, I think so too.
1420 podcast, Dave. We always do a music segment. We've been doing this for quite some time now. And you've been wiping up on the trivia part of the show. We've done three. You're three for three. Now it's just you against yourself, I guess. I'm gonna talk a lyric, read a lyric, I guess is a better way of putting it. Try not to sing it, because if I sing it, you'll get it for sure. And I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe 5. I'll say the lyric. You tell me the song.
I understand. And like I said, I'm not too crazy about this because I like songs more often than not for their the musical aspect, not the lyrical aspect. So let's see how we do here. I hope I don't embarrass myself.
It's in any part of the song. It's not the opening lyric. It's nothing.
I understand. Okay. You're gonna give me this like.
Do you remember Rock Jeopardy?
Yeah, I watched it once. Didn't Jimmy Kimmel host that?
No, it was guy. It was Probst, Jeff Probst from.
Yeah.
Survivor. So
why that's
not still a TV show? I thought it was great.
Well, yeah, but there's only so much. You got to get deeper and deeper and deeper every episode, right? And it's just one category. Whereas in Jeopardy, rock and roll is a category you bring up every 6-7 shows. into the topic to be able to carry that for every single episode.
Okay, we'll give you one right here. I think this one I think you should get. I must confess that my loneliness is killing me.
I do that. I know that song. I don't want dead air. Give it to me.
Britney Spears. I must confess that my loneliness is killing me now.
Just one more time, baby.
Baby, just one more time. That my loneliness is killing me. You ready for another one?
Britney Spears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for another one? As you're leaving, please would you close the door and don't forget what I told you?
Oh, no chance. I honestly don't.
I'll give you the album.
Go.
Play Deep.
So that's the outfield, and that's Josie Vacation, which is shit.
Your Love.
Yeah.
You got it. As you leave here, please, would you close? I thought you'd be better at this day.
Oh no, I told you I'm awful. I never listen to lyrics. I sing choruses.
Another 80s one. A male singer. I'll get a little hint for you.
Yeah.
Girl, don't lie just to save my feelings. Girl, don't cry and tell me nothing's wrong. You don't know?
No. I need music. I honestly need music. I can't.
Girl, what is it? Don't lie just to save my feelings. Girl,
don't cry. If this is it.
If this is it, there you go. See?
Yeah. See, like, I need this singing. Like, and like, I can name that tune. I can't name those words.
I got one it. More from about 93. All I can do is pour some tea for two and speak my point of view.
Is that Pour Some Sugar on Me?
Def Leppard? No.
I don't know.
All I can do is just pour some tea for two.
Oh. Blind Melon.
No Rain.
Change. No Rain.
Yeah. There you go. I got a few more, but you're not very good at this one. I thought it was
No, I am off. I am like, this isn't trivia. This is like you take the rhythm out of the words. I don't have a fucking clue.
You let me sing them, Dave. I'll take the rhythm right the fuck out of it. So anyway.
Well, you know what? And that helped me actually, because I actually had an idea that those are actually songs.
There you go.
That could have been like, you could even fool me. Like it'd be like Emily Dickinson poems or song lyrics or Def Leppard song lyrics. And I would go 50% maybe.
Yeah, I don't know any Emily Dickinson. I know me some Def Leppard, but that's about it. Yeah. The hardest part of that for me was not singing the lyrics. It was just to read them was tough. Go ahead.
See, Dave. And that's why on that first one, I was just trying to find the rhythm for it, but I can't. And I'm, like I say, you know, songs I do know the lyrics for, unless you say like Screen Door Slams, that's it. What song's that?
I don't know.
Screen Door Slams. Mary's Dress Blows. Thunder Road. That's one of my favorite songs. Oh,
there
songs.
You go. Yeah.
So if you, I might have had a 50-50 chance, and that's one of the few songs I do know. I missed that one by a country mile. I said that because I was writing that. You know those old-fashioned sayings? You know, like you missed that one by a country mile. When's the last time you heard someone say you missed that by a country mile? He was out by a country mile.
Missed it by a country mile. Oh, geez. That would have been like, fuck, man. When I was in either on a little league field or around a little league field, or where grandpa would have told that to his grandkid when grandpas could be a little bit harsh with their grandkids. Because a kid would come off the field, a little upset, and I almost hit that. And that grandpa would say, oh, no, grandkid, you missed that by a country mile. Not even close.
I'm not even sugarcoated. Fartisms.
Oh, I love them.
Because I used to hear that shit all the time.
Yeah, you don't anymore, yeah.
Kid. Like, it's a country mile. Like, you don't hear, like, yeah. You know, what's crookeder? There's nothing crookeder than what?
A dog's hind leg.
A dog's hind leg. Yeah. When was the last time you heard that?
That's been 20 years at least. At least.
I would like. You could probably use that in your work, right?
I might use that because I'm the elder statesman at my job now, which is sad to say because there's some young kids. They would look at me with like I had three eyes if I said that. What's that even mean, man? Why is your dog's
quicker than a dog's hind leg?
Yeah. One that my dad used to use, Dave. I got one for you. Every single time, and we fell for it. My dad, my brother, my sister, my mom. We fell for it with Steve every time. Every time it was raining, you'd say what? Sure is coming down. And Steve, every single time, would say, it looked funny going up, wouldn't it? Every single time. Like just, okay, man. You got me again. It's just funny. Yeah.
So on that note, I have a couple oldisms here, if you don't mind.
Oh, I love them.
Like, so are you pulling my leg or yanking my chain?
Oh, I like that one. I might use that again. But you got to watch who you say that to. Because if you say it to the wrong person, WCB might be knocking on your door and the cops and everything else, like some horrible sexual assault charge coming your way. But what, yeah.
Well, it's just a saying. It's, yeah. It's completely innocuous.
But it's context and delivery. Context and delivery mean a lot of things. And intent. context, delivery, and intent when you say certain things like that. Yeah.
So what are you? Are you a chain yanker or a leg puller?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. I was a leg puller. I was more of a leg puller. Still am.
Do you like when people are at it? Like, are you? This one's really old. Are you chewing the fat or just shooting the breeze?
Ooh.
When was the last time you heard chewing the fat?
Chewing the fat. Chewing the fat been a long
time. Am I that old?
No, but that one's been a long time. Chewing the fat. Shooting the breeze isn't that far out of the realm. Chewing the fat. That's a long time ago, man. I haven't chewed the fat in a long time. I've shot the breeze recently.
I think I shoot the breeze, yeah. I think it's easier to shoot the breeze than chew the fat.
I think both of us shoot out a lot of hot air, people would say, I guess. So, yeah, it's shooting the breeze for sure. Chewing the fat. Yeah, it's been a long time.
That's an old timer. I have one more.
Yeah.
So you and the producer.
Yeah.
Got a night out and whatever. Oh. Like, so now you're in wherever you went to your ball game, and the day after you have the other thing that's not the ball game. You're getting all ready. Are you going to hit the town or are you going to paint the town red?
I'm hitting the town. I'm hitting the town. I'm getting down, hitting the town.
You don't paint the town red.
She's probably painting the town because she wants to probably hit three or four different spots and go here and go there and painting the entire town red. Whereas I'm, you know,
you're gonna hit it and just keep hitting in that
one spot. I'm not going too many places.
You're a direct strike where she's more of a carpet bomber.
That's right. She's painting the town red. There's no, go here, go there, see this, talk to this, get more people, whatever. No, I'm good. One spot, that's it. We actually went to Moxie's the other night there in Lethbridge there. It was nice. It was fun. Saw some people and, it was good. Not people that we knew, but it was good. It was decent.
It's good. It's like I'm confident with the direction that Lethbridge, Alberta is going right now, and that's it. I was camping, so I was miles away from. I had 95% of my day was more than 10 meters apart from everybody.
Well, you're 106% efficacy, aren't you?
Well, no, I think it only maxes out on 132.
Okay. I don't know.
So
I'm still trying to figure that math out anyway.
I'm still one efficient mother.
You're the most efficient motherfucker that I know.
I think I even texted our sound guy the other day. I said fuck three times tonight.
Yeah, I think we just did the first two tonight right count. There.
He never got back to me.
He's been busy being a rock star and everything else. He's all over the place, old Jimmy. Anyways, good show tonight, Dave. A lot of fun. Weekend plans during the week. What do you got going on?
Well, nothing. We're going to be in Lethbridge, Alberta. It's cooler than it's supposed to be. I'm going to go take a look at the Wimble schedule, see if there's any home Bulls games.
On Thursday night there is going to be one hell of a display of umpiring on Thursday night at Spitz Stadium. I'm just saying.
Are you gonna you and I are gonna sit in the stands and you're gonna show me what makes
I'll show you some other guy who's umpiring. That's right.
I'll tell you what, though, my son had his first outright. That umpire was stupid tonight in Little League.
It happens. We don't get.
And
smarter.
You know what? The boy did have a point. It was a backwards K.
Oof.
And that last pitch was. It was.
Suspect
it was
at best.
It was closer to the brim of his hat than it was his tits. I promise you that.
That's a bad call, then. That happens.
What do you do?
They're just learning too. They're just.
They are just. That's what I stress to my son. Like, everybody has to be bad before they're good.
I never had that problem.
Really?
I still have that problem.
Oh, I was just gonna say you've just been rolling with the bad and just talking to the right people.
That's right. Anyways, baseball coming up this week. I'm out in the field Wednesday and Thursday night. Looking forward to it. We've got a weekend coming up. Summertime's rolling. We're rolling into August right away here. My goodness gracious. 1420 podcast. We are everywhere you get your podcast. Keep listening to the show. We appreciate the support we get thus far. Talk to other people about the show. We appreciate everything that happens. Dave, keep your stick on. Oh, take care of each other. More importantly, take care of yourself. Keep your stick on the ice, and what else?
Jim, don't swing at any high pitches. And how many times did I say fuck? I think I only said fuck three times.
You just said it three times right there.
I know. I let it go a little bit. As soon as I started thinking about how little I said fuck, I started saying fuck.
I think we're six tonight now, but that's okay. Take it easy, folks. We'll talk to you again on the weekend.
Have a good night.
Ha ha ha.